Chapter 53. Pat shook her head. This is unbelievable. Vida is guilty of murdering those three women because she hated Miss Evangeline and felt the estate should be hers? Cade sat on my sofa, a cup of coffee balanced on his knee. I was on one side of him, Marianne on the other.
That's about the size of it, he said.
You see, Vida was Charles Carver's daughter, the little girl who disappeared with her mother after his death. She blamed Judson for murdering her father. And I imagine she was right in that. At least, circumstantial evidence points to that.
Do you mean the walled-up skeleton? Ken asked.
Cade nodded. That and the watch with Charles's initials on it. Looks like Judson may have shot Charles and sealed him up in the fireplace. That hole through the expensive watch was made by a long-ago bullet. Theorizing what happened, because nobody now can prove it, I'd say Judson didn't want to see his brother lose the estate and shot him, making it look like Charles had run out on his debts and his family. And Judson had a love of money that wouldn't allow him to get rid of the watch. He couldn't sell it either without fear of incriminating himself, so he buried it and kept it in the house.
Pat shuddered. What an evil old man! His own brother!
Jackie took a sip of her coffee and shook her head. Ned, I can't imagine the shock of finding that skeleton sealed up in the fireplace. I'd have fainted dead away. I put my coffee cup on the floor and gazed into the flames of the fireplace. Although it was April, the day was cold and drizzly, but the chill I felt had nothing to do with the weather. I didn't have time to faint, I said. If you'd been in my place, you'd have done what I did. Run.
I'm just glad nobody was hurt when you apprehended them, Marianne said, gazing at Cade with eyes that were so much like his. It sounds awfully Old West to me.
Ken smiled at her. I'd noticed she had captured much of his interest throughout the evening.
Coradie sighed. Uncle Mo is still on the loose somewhere. I wish he'd give himself up. He's bound to be cold and hungry. I'll be glad when Gerald gets his law degree. Surely being a lawyer is safer than being a lawman.
Ron shook his head. I wouldn't count on that. Lawyers know a lot of secrets, and since they do, sometimes folks figure they know too much for their own good. Real estate people, too, Daisy said. I need more coffee. Anyone else?
She left her seat by the fireplace and went to the kitchen. So Pearlie and Elbert helped that poor Vida woman because they were so greedy and wanted to inherit Eva's estate? Miss Anne asked. Greed can certainly destroy lives. She shook her head.
That and because Pearlie was desperate for money to pay her gambling debts, Gerald said. She and Elbert were basically destitute due to her habit. I can see why Lila was murdered if she actually knew that Vida killed Miss Evangeline, Jackie said. But why Myra?
Cade answered.
Vida wouldn't talk, but Pearlie had no problem telling everything she knew. According to her, the plan to kill Miss Evangeline was entirely Vida's. She convinced Myra that Miss Evangeline deserved to die because of the harm Judson had done to Myra's family. Myra's part in the murder was to hide behind a bush, wave a tablecloth from the kitchen, and scare Miss Evangeline's mare. She did that, and then saw Vida rush out of hiding and hit Miss Evangeline with a hammer. Your hammer, Ken. I think Vida wore gloves, so the only prints on it were yours.
Ken shook his head.
And to think, I actually liked Myra.
Gerald took up the story. Myra got cold feet. Her conscience started bothering her, according to Pearlie.
She was going to tell what she knew, so Vida killed her too. Pearlie and Elbert were afraid of Vida, and they knew they were in too deep to back out.
Marianne shook her head. She must have been certifiably crazy as anyone ever was.
I wish Greta could have been here tonight, I said as I helped Daisy refill cups and pass a plate of Miss Anne's shortbread. She's trying to track down Jules to tell him it's safe to come home.
Why go to all the trouble of getting you out to the farm? Miss Anne asked. And was that a Carver who went through your car and tried to break into your house? What did they think you had? Myra had seen Miss Evangeline hand me something, I said. They were afraid it was a will, and she had left them out. Miss Eva had confided in Lila about Ken being her son. Lila let it slip when she knew that the others were counting on inheriting. They were afraid she'd leave everything to him. They had to stop Miss Evangeline before she saw Ron and made out a will. They knew she didn't trust them, and thought she had given me some sort of written statement of her intentions or suspicions. I blinked away tears. Poor lady. I think she was trying to undo some of her father's meanness. Ken, I'm glad you were in protective custody, because you would surely have been next. Ken grinned. After you, cousin. The two children on the floor smiled up at me and took their third helpings of shortbread. Mike, Ron and Jackie's new son with a shock of blonde hair that was always falling into his eyes, and Bonnie, with her curly brown hair and large brown eyes, seemed comfortable and at home in the company of so many adults. Bonnie was the surprise Marianne had brought home with her. Bonnie's parents, also missionaries, had died in a small plane crash, and since Marianne was her godmother and Bonnie had no close relatives, Bonnie's care and well-being was entrusted to her. Bonnie sat on the floor with Penny on her lap while Mike stroked Ulysses' silky ears. It was nice, the way children added a hominess to this old house of mine. I would talk to Cade and Marianne about her plans. Cade's small house must be crowded with two extra people, and mine was empty except for Ulysses, Penny, and me. My thoughts were interrupted by Jackie. "Did anyone ever find that trust Judson Carver made out?" she asked. "No, not yet," Cade answered. "What about it, Ron? Do Miss Evangeline's wishes hold up as a will?" Ron cleared his throat. "That birth certificate of Ken's pretty much declares that he's the heir to the Carver estate, so nothing has really been decided yet. I'm conferring with a team of lawyers in the city. Looks to me like the farm belongs to Ken." Ken shook his head. "I don't want it." A chorus of surprised voices greeted that statement. "Too much bad stuff has happened because of that farm," Ken said. "Oh, I'd like to take possession of the horses, maybe, just to be sure they have a nice home. But I wouldn't feel right about it. You know, there's a law about not profiting from a murder, and I'm sad to say, it looks like my grandfather may have murdered my great uncle." "Don't be too hasty about such a huge decision," I said. "You can't help what your ancestors did. And besides, nobody can prove that's what happened." "This has really been an awful time," Ken said. "But I feel blessed anyway. I've discovered a new cousin. And I've found out who I am by birth. Besides, I like Edna Lee. I'm thinking I just may settle down here." Marianne returned his smile. Pat finished her coffee and set her cup on the floor. "Marianne, don't get the wrong idea about our little town. It's usually peaceful and filled with lovely people. The fault for all this lies with the moon. There was a blue moon in March, you know. It affects people who have a natural evil tendency. I believe the Carver family and Mick, too, were actually moonstruck." I shook my head at my superstitious friend. A log dropped in the fireplace, sending a shower of sparks up the chimney. I sat down again beside Cade, gazed around the room at my circle of friends, and listened to the quiet chatter of the children on the floor. Cade slipped his arm around me, and I leaned against his shoulder. "I think you're wise, Ken," I said. "Friendship and family are worth much more than money could ever buy." The End.